is Nicole Whitney, News for the Soul, life-changing talk radio from the Absolute.
Hear all of our previously aired broadcasts of News for the Soul online at newsforthesoul.com. Now let's get back to the show.
It's time. Eyes wide open with Janessa and SJ. Let's bring them on to reintroduce themselves, their show, and what's up for today.
Hello, and welcome to Eyes Wide Open. We are multifaceted beings living in a multidimensional existence, and we hold the power of perception. This power alone paints our reality. Perception influences the things we see and the things we don't see. Together, we'll explore the mystical and the material, the metaphysical and the physical, the supernatural and the concrete, and the seen and the unseen. And I am Janessa Finley Ford. I'm one of your hosts. I'm an empowerment coach. And excuse me, I also have a little bit of a cold. So I'm just going to let SJ introduce herself while I clear my throat and get myself together over here.
And I'm the other half of Stronger Together. My name is SJ. I'm a certified crystal healer and shamanic earth and energy medicine practitioner. I really work in the realm of marrying together the old ancient wisdoms and then moving that forward into quantum physics so that we can have leaps and bounds in our own healing and spiritual journeys to really live the life that we desire, rather than being stuck in those old patterns and ruts that can really drag us down. Speaking of patterns and ruts that can really drag us down, I do have a funny story to share with us that's going to be on topic for tonight. I'm going to dive into phobias, but I want to share one that was my mom. She was terrified of snakes for as long as I can remember, up until, I don't know if it was last Christmas or the Christmas before, when Janessa cleared it at her family Christmas. But anyways, up until that, I can remember very clearly, I wasn't driving, so I had to have been like a seventh or eighth grader probably in school, sitting on her daycare steps. They had this old like green outdoor carpet, if you guys know what that looks like, over the steps, and there was a split in the top of that carpet on one of the steps that we were sitting in. And I remember her pulling that open to look inside of it, and inside of it, lo and behold, was a whole bundle of garter snake babies, and who knows, the mom too, like a whole menagerie of, it looked like a ton of snakes. And I remember her using her arm to launch off of me, shoving me into like the step to fly and catapult forward. She ran all the way to the end of the sidewalk, through the daycare gate, closed the gate behind her because, you know, chain link fence for sure stops garter snakes, and then ran to the other side of the road and then turned back and caught her breath and screamed, run, run, get away from them, as I'm sitting there dying laughing because I did not have the phobia of snakes. So that's our topic tonight, is phobias and how easily we can clear them in honestly a matter of minutes typically.
Yes. So I am all about the energy psychology and repatterning our being, rewiring our brain, really leaning into the mindset, and phobias can certainly be cleared in a matter of minutes. It's one of my favorite things, and I feel like most people who experience phobias, once it's poofed on, you're like, holy cow, that's a miracle. And also, why did this plague me for so, so long? So I want to discuss, and I'm curious what your thoughts are, the difference between a fear response and a phobic response. Like, what's the difference in your world between fear and phobia?
Well, for me, a fear response is something that we move away from, but we also will sometimes move into and towards if need be. Whereas a phobia for me is wrapped up in more than one belief system that's really ingrained at the emotional and mental and oftentimes the spiritual level as well. Whereas the fear isn't quite as much of a stronghold as what a phobia is. So fear is one of those that, you know, when people tell you you just need to face your fears, I think that can be true for fears. But you just need to face your phobias and get over it doesn't resonate the same way for me. Like, I've faced my phobias before, and it didn't do anything except reaffirm that I still had a phobia. So that's kind of like the tangible for me, like a fear. Yeah, you might be able to face that and release it and move through it. A phobia, it's like a hard concrete wall that you run into, whether it's logical or not, and just kind of smashes you in the face that you can't get through until you rewire that neurology that's really keeping you locked within that mental stronghold too.
Yeah, I agree. I can see that, you know, with clients also. It's so much easier when you connect in with it yourself. So a couple of stories of my personal fears, having one that was so profound, it guided me gently, we'll say, into my profession or out of a profession. But as a little girl, I thought that I would grow up and become a nurse. I thought that was going to be the best thing ever, and I could just take care of people. And then I went to a regular routine medical procedure, if you even want to call it a procedure, and lights out. It dropped me to the floor. I passed out. Little pokey poke with a needle did not set well with my body, my being. And I went years passing out with needles. And much as you said, like, the exposure didn't matter, didn't change the response. And my physical response to it was so profound. Try as I may, I wasn't staying conscious no matter how badly I wanted to. It was literally needle, blood draw, nap time. So now, having cleared the phobia, for several years I've been able to have blood draws, whatever needles need to come into my world, all in a very healthy way, mind you. I certainly can't say that I like them, and I can't say I look forward to it. I would say the fear is balanced, right? Like, do I want to move away from it? Absolutely. Do I want to rush and sign up to have a needle prick my skin? For sure, no. But I can be afraid, and I can do it anyway, and I can stay conscious, which is really fun and beautiful. But I don't think that we can discredit simply the phobias that do cause maybe some of the more funnier moments like what you shared, because a lot of phobias build. There's that really strong, irrational response, whatever's going on in the environment, that exaggerated emotional chaos that breaks out from it. It can be very humorous, but it's not in alignment with what's happening in the environment around us. And so I feel as though those are some of the bigger distinguishers between the phobias. We can have phobias that are limiting but not life-altering as well. So the level of discomfort, it's not black and white. I love the black and white world where we can see things binarily, but this is not so. The phobias really, truly can ingrain in a spectrum.
Yeah, I really think that fear gets a bad rap too, and it's like a super valid emotion that we all need within our life in certain areas. It's really just when we get stuck in a fear response and can't move through that emotion or that feeling that it becomes a problem. But, like, we need fear. Fear is not bad. Fear is good to have so that we know what, you know, is going to be safe, what's not going to be safe. And I think that's another big difference. Like, I can't say that there's a valid use of a phobia. Like, that's probably not super beneficial in our life. But, like, we need fear. Fear isn't something that we want to eradicate from our human experience or our emotional well-being. It's something that is a great indicator that we need within our lives to perceive and really calibrate where we're going, where we should be going. Whereas a phobia is just pretty detrimental. I don't know that there's really an upside of a phobia.
Yeah, that's true. The fear, I couldn't agree more about it getting a bad rap, although I would say a lot of negative emotions in general get a bad rap. Like, we don't like being uncomfortable, and negative emotions come with discomfort. And I was just having this conversation yesterday, actually, with someone reflecting on the wisdom of nature and the fact that we are created from opposing energies. There's masculine energy and feminine energy, and their traits are in direct opposition. And so it's really about having those opposing energies in balance. And we've talked about this on previous episodes too. You can be happy, but if you're happy all the time, it's actually muting or masking the opposing energy. And so getting comfortable with the fact that we live with fear, like it is a part of our our makeup and our existence, and still being able to do the thing anyway, not letting the fear drive the car, it's the passenger, and you're still going to where you want to get. It's just part of being human, and the things that make us uncomfortable, we just don't want to experience, so we try to get rid of it. And some things aren't meant to be gotten rid of, only balanced. So the one aspect of phobias that we haven't touched on from my world is the fact that phobias can also have a shame component, where we, you know, assassinate our character. All of those colorful names, our internal talk might call ourselves, is driven from shame. And when we feel that there is something so wrong with us because we're not doing something, it's a shame-based phobia. And it can paralyze just the same as a fear-based phobia.
Yeah, that's a great point, too. When we're looking at it from my modalities, I don't necessarily separate out shame-based versus the fear-based, but I always, like, there's always typically a root cause, whether that's in this life or a past life, there's always a root cause of when we gained the phobia as well. And that energetic, from my stance, I live in the chakra world all day, every day, but it lives within that first transpersonal chakra, which is about 1 foot above your head, which is your beliefs. Like, no wonder it lives there, right? Like, a phobia is a belief. Like, you truly believe, like in my mom's case, those snakes were going to devour her. And it was honestly worth sacrificing her only child to them in order to live. Like, that survival instinct had just, like, literally taken over her entire being to where, like, her neurology could do nothing except flee that scene because it was truly perceived as life or death. Now, I don't think my mom intentionally was going to sacrifice her only child, you know, but literally that's what occurred. If that was reality, like, here we are sitting on a step getting eaten by garter snakes, whom I don't believe eat humans, but, you know, that's where it lives. And that's that first transpersonal chakra, which is our belief system. A lot of spiritual beliefs can come into play there. Oftentimes, I will see a lot of phobias coming out of even cults. People who have exited cults, like, I can see phobias come out of there that were created from those spiritual pathways as well. So that's kind of where my world lives, but I know that our modalities are a little bit different, so I'd love to hear more about your perspective on that too.
Yeah, similar but different. So certainly don't dive into past life elements for phobias. And focusing on really just the repatterning and the rewiring, being able to deal with the experience that the person has had as they recall it consciously, and then interrupting that irrational response, which lives in the unconscious mind, will interrupt and clear out the phobia. I feel like the most amazing examples of the phobias that I've worked with or cleared are like just organic life situations. For instance, at your family gathering, and I don't even remember how snakes came up. And I'm like, do you want to not be afraid of snakes anymore? And it was a couple second conversation acknowledging, you know, the worst case scenario, that deep, deep fear, connecting with that, and then reprogramming the brain. Or I think I shared this story too in a earlier episode, but when Travis and I were going on the hike that led to Corona Arc, where we later got engaged, there was a group that was hiking that came up behind us, and the one woman was going to stop because she was so afraid of heights that she wasn't going to go any further with her group. The canyon that we were in, we weren't super close to the ledge, but the closer you got to the arc, the closer the edge, the ledge, the canyon gap became, and it was breaching her comfort zone, even though it was many, many, many feet. And I, too, heights is another fear. I personally have gone from it being phobic and it will freeze and paralyze me to being, I think, a fairly balanced fear. I don't want to go stand on the edge of the canyon and look straight down, but I also don't have to stay, you know, a half a football field distance away from the ledge to feel safe. And so as we were walking, we acknowledged the fear, what the worst case scenario was. And for her, different technique than I used with your mom, but for her, we did the tapping, the natural bio-distressing tapping, which is available linked on News for the Soul. So people can use that and try to clear their own phobias if they want to. We use that tapping, and in a matter of minutes, literally it was maybe like 7 minutes to talk through the situation, to tap through the whole sequence of points that we tap on. And then she's laughing. She's with her group. She continued and completed the hike. And I'm sure she's out there living happily ever after. I have no idea. I would like to know. But, yeah, to see it change in real time that quickly, it's so much fun.
Yeah, I resonate a lot with that height phobia. For a very long time, was very afraid of heights. I thought that was, like, the whole thing to it. And I had cleared my height phobia, gosh, I don't know, probably, like, right out of high school. But literally this last year, last summer, in June, actually, I was volunteering and helping to clean a hayloft, was part of that, which it was a third-floor state hayloft, which going up was totally fine. So I went up, cleaned the hayloft, did the things, and then when I got to the edge to come back down, I was literally frozen in that, like, complete fear phobic response. And it wasn't the height, it was the ladder. And I had never really worked with the phobia of the ladder portion that I had going on there. And it's interesting for me, and I've seen this in a couple of places too. My dad has a phobia of ladders as well. Like, he hates that. And it had only dawned on me in that moment that I was also living through that family pattern, too. The phobia had progressed forward from him to me. And then I literally sat down on a hayloft and cleared my ladder phobia. My normal preference for clearing phobias, of course, is crystals, anything with a high lithium content. So we're talking about, you know, Numite, my favorite. You guys are probably going to get tired of hearing that, but Numite, Kunzite, lithium quartz, and lapidolites. And working with that first transpersonal chakra and cleaning out those strongholds, those limiting beliefs, the phobic response, the neurology that lives there. But when you're in a hayloft all by yourself in the middle of nowhere, you don't exactly have all of the crystals at your disposal. So energy medicine was where I went with that too, of really working with the chakra systems and understanding that there is an outer wheel and an inner wheel of the chakras, and the outer wheel is always where those phobic strongholds are going to be. So utilizing those absolute scalar waves to free up both that ancestral link that I had going on and then a past life component for me was also evident within that too. And cleaning that up is how I cleared mine out in probably, like, it sounds so complex and it's literally not. It's such an easy technique, which we share all the time within our Stronger Together community, of how to work within those absolute scalar waves to clean up that energy. So it was probably less than 5 minutes. To release that, and then I was able to walk down that ladder like I do it every day and not lose my whole mind paralyzed in fear at the top.
Did you ever have an instance that would have made you afraid of a ladder or of heights?
Oh, absolutely. I remember super clear. I was probably, let me see, Megan was super young. So she was not in school. So I couldn't have been more than probably 7 or 8. And another cousin of mine, I was climbing up a ladder into a tree to get, I don't know, who knows what, like climbing into the tree. And he tipped the ladder over, which I fell, knocked me unconscious, and I was found by my Uncle Harry, still unconscious, pretty sure I was, like, dead, but I wasn't. And from that point forward, 100%, like, that's when I discovered that link of here's where my phobic response happened, when I had probably, for me in my small childhood, a near-death experience of, you know what, I was left for dead and almost died because of this ladder. And honestly, even that memory didn't come up until I really started focusing on that ladder phobia last year and really cleaning it up of like, oh yeah, duh, there's that link for me too of that traumatic experience that brought it kind of to the forefront in this life for me.
So I want to continue this thought thread just a second, but I do want to welcome anyone out there. If you have a phobia that you would like to ditch and be done with, you're welcome to try to call in. The phone lines have been a little glitchy, but you can give it a try and see if you can get through. 646-595-4274. And if you can get through, we would be happy to work with you. If we don't have live on-the-air callers today, please know there's just some tech issues going on, and we're working through it as best we can. So that's the interesting part of phobias is typically there's that trigger moment when it all begins. And for obviously my story regarding the needles when I passed out, but I don't know what would have made me actually fear the needle prior to that experience, because it's not the first time I had ever had a needle. I had my ears pierced when I was in second grade. But at some point I definitely decided that they were going to kill me and I needed to just take a nap. So I didn't experience the torture or whatever was going to come from that. And heights for me is a little trickier too. Like I never fell. I never had a moment. I would crawl in and out of, ironically, of course, the barn loft as well as a kid, which is where our cats would have their litters with kittens, and I would always need to go hold and play with all of the little baby animals on the farm. And getting in and out of that loft was no big deal as a kid. The only thing I can think of for heights that would have started my discomfort with them, fear and phobia, was we would use a tractor loader and lift the loader up to harvest apples out of an apple tree when I was young. And I was little compared to everyone else because, well, first of all, I'm a small human. Second of all, I'm the youngest in my family. And no, my parents were not, like, abusing me or putting me up in this bucket of a tractor for torture or child labor. I really, really wanted to be there. But I could remember, like, other people were able to reach and pick the apples, and I really couldn't. And I could remember I was, like, stretching, reaching further beyond what I felt comfortable with. And that's the only thing that I can really resonate with that would have created this real, you know, lack of safety with heights, because I haven't had that moment where, you know, I passed out or whatever.
Yeah, and oftentimes what I found with other people with their phobias, if they don't have or can't identify a time within this life that was created, could it be past life? Sure, but oftentimes this life resonates more or lives within the shadow records. So I'm sure lots of people have heard of Akashic records, which those are like your book of life, all everything you've done. Well, there's also shadow records of I wish I would have, or what could have happened, or this could have happened to me if I had only done one thing different. So oftentimes, and that could also be like the link to the shame-based phobias too, a lot of shame usually lives within the shadow records of I wish I would have done something differently in those moments. So possibly like we could look at that too and see if perhaps yours lives within your shadow records. We could muscle test or pendulum to see if it's there. I don't personally think any of that is super important though. I think clearing the phobia is more important than where is it living, like where are the energetics there. So even in session, you're probably not going to hear me even talking to you. We're just going to be cleaning it up and then rewiring the neurology at the end. But if you want the cognitive info, I know we got lots of head points who follow us that love all of that info. That's where I look, is past life and shadow records. If you can't identify specifically, like this is when it occurred, this is the event.
Shadow records, that's interesting. So would that be essentially synonymous to our list of regrets? Could have, would have, should have?
Can be. But it can also be things that, like, when you think about, like, okay, if you were in a car accident, for instance, and you didn't die, right? Like, that's not a wish I would have died, but that's an alternative reality or life experience that you could have had. So that energetics could live there too. So it's not entirely the list of regrets, because probably we don't want to die in a car accident. But it's the things that could have happened that didn't, that still have energetic holds within our being today.
So like potential
yes.
Different courses in life that could have come to fruition, but didn't. So I lived with someone for many years who was really afraid of birds. And of course, this was, you know, really early on. I was maybe just a couple of years out of college with even that. And I thought birds were such an odd phobia from my standpoint, because I've never had a bad encounter with birds until I was attacked by a duck many years later, and I realized how aggressive birds could be. That I came to understand this phobia of birds. But bats, so bats and birds have been in our life this week. For those who follow along on social media, you may have seen that I came across the robin. It's the younger robin. It had a broken wing, and I called Wildlife Rescue, and I took it to a volunteer, and it's doing great. So I'm so happy it's not laying in the road still and waiting for it to try not to get ran over by another car. So I'm glad I didn't have that phobia of birds, because I wouldn't have felt comfortable picking it up and carrying it and transporting it. And I was really grateful to the universe that delivered some bats to not me, because the one story I have yet to share is my other phobia, which was of bats. When I was young, probably junior high age, I think it was around seventh grade, my friend lived in this very majestically old house, and they were doing some construction projects on it. And because of that project, a bat got into the house. And so a little bit of a spoiler alert with the story, but in my ignorance of having never seen or thought about the fact that bat could be in the house, I just saw this winged thing, and I thought it was a bird. I said to my friend, who's coming up the steps behind me, is there a bird in your house? And she screams, runs in her room, slams the door like in my face. I'm still standing in the hallway as she yells, no, it's bat. So I just stand in the hallway, like, observing the bat, because I don't know. I've never seen a bat in a closed space before. I don't know what it's going to do. It's just flying. Okay, cool. And it decides that it's going to fly down the hallway, which means there's only a little bit of space between me and this bat in the hallway. And it was way too close to my head for comfort. I ran into the bathroom, mirrored what my friend did, and waited for the all clear. So I no longer cringe when I see a bat. I don't run away from them. But again, I would say, like, I have balanced fear. I also wouldn't invite going and picking up bats or adopting pet bats or really wanting to rescue bats. So when I got this text message from you this week, with a picture of a bat. I was really, really grateful to the universe that they had taken the bat to you. So please share your bat story.
Yeah, well, I'll share my first bat story. And I think this is a great example of fear versus phobia. I have a general fear of bats, not a phobia of bats, but a general fear. Like, I don't like their flappy, flappy wings. I also didn't know how many sounds bats make. Like, Dustin and I have learned through this experience of our newfound bat friends for the next week or so that they sound a lot like what we thought were birds. And I always thought it was weird that the birds were chirping at night, and now I fully am cognizant of the fact that it's not birds chirping at night out here. It is bats and lots of them. Which I think I'm okay with now after dealing with my bat family. But basically, one of my kids comes running in the house and is like, "Mom, I got to show you this. I got to show you this." I'm like, "I'm on a call. Like, this better be good." It was good. He was correct. It was very good. So I walk outside. There's this mommy bat who has two baby bats that are clinging on her outside on the ground. I don't see any injuries or anything, but it is broad daylight, and this bat is laying on its back with its two babies on the ground. So I'm like, well, she can't stay here because your cats were for sure eat her. So I'm like, okay, I'm going to pick it up, you know. And, of course, Dustin's like, let me go get the tongs. I'm like, how am I going to use metal tongs to pick up a mommy bat and not break her wing, tear it? Because I don't know how fragile these things are. I've never touched a bat before. And also not squish her two baby twins. Like, this is, no. I'm just going to put this leather glove on. Absolute scalar wave, universal streams of grace to her so she doesn't murder me. And it worked out fine. She just opened her batty mouth so I could see her teeth, but she didn't do anything else. So that was all good. Brought her in, got her all comfy, called Bat Rescue, to which they said there's nothing wrong with her, so put her back outside. She has two babies, and she should only have one. So she basically can't fly because her babies got too big because she should only have one of them. So their solution was death, I guess, and I'm not really down with that. So luckily, baby bats mature in 3 weeks for this species, and these guys are definitely probably 2 weeks old. So we only have bat friends for a short period of time in their little cage eating crickets and strawberries and water and doing weird, screechy bird sounds at night. So, yeah, this is a good example, though, of, like, I don't love my batty friends I currently have. Like, I have a general fear of, like, this could go south really quickly. I'm going to be really upset if I have a bat family flying around in my house at any point in time, but I'm not phobic of it. So, good segue between that. I would have preferred your robin, though. We could have traded.
I don't blame you. I'm not jealous. You're a good human, though. I adore you. It takes a special kind of somebody to bring bats into their home or into whatever. Obviously, you said you don't want them flying in your home, so they must be in there somewhere. But into safety.
I bought her a terrarium. She has a terrarium cage of her own for now.
She's probably not ever going to want to leave. Like,
she's
you're
not
serving
have
her
a choice.
Food and insects. She doesn't have to do anything for herself. She's just queen status.
Yep. COVID regs are over. Evictions can occur.
Oh, that's a cool story. It's really interesting to see and think about the phobias that people are more accepting of or normalize. So I believe the number one phobia is of public speaking. No, it's of dying. Dying, public speaking, and I think flying are the top phobias.
Yep.
But the majority of phobias that I work with clients are more predominantly animals. See, lots and lots of phobias to animals. Success or failure. The heights, obviously. But, yeah, I have yet for anyone to self-select to get rid of a public speaking phobia, although they'll talk about how uncomfortable it is and how, you know, beyond fear, truly, that is to speak, but then we accept it, or the fear of flying, and it's accepted. So it's interesting to see the normalization of that within society, if it's a normalization. What are your thoughts about that? And what do you see with people?
I do feel like it's a normalization. I also feel like the public speaking aspect, too, you probably just see people choose occupations where they don't have to participate in that. But oftentimes we don't have a choice if we're going to participate in, like, your phobia of needles, right? Like, that's the thing that you're just going to have to do, so you can't avoid it as much. Same with flying. Like, I guess you could go about your life avoiding flying. My father also has a phobia of flying, to which he has never been on an airplane. So I suppose, like, the ones that are accepted feel more avoidable to me than the other ones where you're kind of just placed. Like, you know, if you're scared of snakes, I don't know where you're going to live, like, really far north to not have those, I suppose. But I don't know, like, I think that's interesting because I've never worked with anyone with a public speaking phobia either. One aspect of phobias that I find really interesting is how very young children can have them too. You worked an amazing one with my friend's little girl as well with dogs, but I want to share a story of my son who was even younger. He was 3 months old when I had to go to basic training for my job, and I was going to be there for 6 weeks. He came with me. We had a sitter. And the first 5 or 6 times we got on the elevator, he would just literally be screaming. You could tell complete terror, absolute fear response, 100% phobic, happened every single time we got in an elevator. And that was not his normal response. He was not a child who was fearful of a lot of things. He was very outgoing as well. So I knew, like, this is a phobia. I think it was the 7th time on that elevator. It was only 5 stories that we were going. So we're only going up to floor 5. And by the time we got to floor 5, his phobia was cleared while we were working that, just from floor 1 to 5. So however long that takes, but it's less than a minute. And from there on out, he would be laughing and giggling every time we got on an elevator, and he's never re-experienced it since. So super young children can have those phobias come into play too, and you can clear them just as quickly for them as well.
I think you can clear things even quicker for kids. It seems like there's less static in the lines, if you will, within their energetic system.
Yeah.
And so being able to repattern and rewire happens even faster with kids than adults, but it is a really easy process to release the phobia. And phobias also intertwine into trauma. So depending upon the circumstance, of course, there could be a deeper trauma issue to clear. For instance, you know, like a house fire, if someone has been in a house fire, simply trying to clear a phobia of fire is not going to alleviate the discomfort or have a balanced level of fear because of that much deeper impacting situation. So everything is, for sure, with all humans, everything is case by case. But again, that's more of a, for the head points who like to understand the structure of what you're working with, information, it's not so important to actually being able to have that liberated, free life of not running away from snakes, bats, ladders, needles, elevators.
Yeah, it's amazing how those patterns can come up to play, though, for people, too, and how we'll often just try to shove them aside, too. And I wonder if that isn't the shame aspect, too, for some of the things. Like, if you're – I feel like flying is pretty accepted nowadays, and it's kind of odd if you are the person who is the one-off who has never flown. Like, you're probably going to be in the minority of that group at a certain age range, too. So I just wonder how much of that, too, we just kind of hide away from it and move away from even that shame or even talking about, you know, like, this is going on, or I have this irrational fear or attachment to not wanting to do X, Y, Z. There's probably so many that are just completely hidden, too. I used to have like a pretty strong reaction to spiders as well. And then when I moved into really working with the shamanic aspects of spiders, like that phobia on its own really dissipated without doing a whole lot. And I really think it was just rewiring that understanding of spiders and what they do and, you know, that most of them are really not treacherous or anything like that either. But I do want to touch on that other aspect of shamanic healing. Water from an elemental stance is the one that is usually an imbalance with every single phobia. But again, that is just for those people who want to know more about that. So exploring your relationship with the element of water, if you're into those shamanic aspects, can really help clean up your phobias that you may have going on as well, too.
Yeah, and the fear of UFOs.
Oh, yes. And my irrational fear, I mean, phobia of UFOs, that was real. I definitely required you to rewire my neurology for that stance to get that all hung back up, too.
Yeah, and you're not the only one. Not the only person I've worked with fearful, very fearful of UFOs. So that's not uncommon. And as we've talked about UFOs in the past with this closure, it'll be interesting to see how that works within the collective. So we had talked about how in June, which we're now in June, there was going to be a UFO event in DC, which has happened this week. And some of the information that's been released from that is really, really mind-bending. And so much like the pandemic that integrated phobic and trauma and these different responses from people as they saw the news on TV, I don't know that this is actually going to make it to the news, but for those people who are paying attention, it'll be interesting to see if we see more of those phobias start popping up from what is coming to be known and talked about as potential realities and or the realities of our world. So maybe someday we'll loop back around to that topic. I won't rip that bandit off here in the few minutes that we have left as we move to the top of the hour, but it's been pretty.
Yep.
If UFOs are your jive, I encourage people to look into that information. It's pretty intriguing.
Well, like that's an interesting component to it too. Like I think over the past few years, you know, since late 2019 forward, we have really seen how the media can impact and or create phobias within individuals and family units too, based upon the messaging that it uses. And I think that we could see that go one of two ways with the aliens as well. You know, we saw it with COVID and how the phobic responses were created to that, you know, making everyone sick, you know, this is the end of the world stuff, like here's the apocalypse. Don't hang out with your family because you'll get everybody sick. There were so many phobias created during COVID that I really wonder, you know, the media has a real opportunity to not do that with aliens if that's how they're going to release it. But I also think that phobias and the creation of them are a real way to control populations. So I'm sure your episodes on those different systems have a lot of phobia attachments there too that could be looked into as well. But it'll be really interesting to see which way this alien thing will go with the media explosion too, of like what are they going to expose? How are they going to spin it? How are they going to pitch it? Is it just going to be facts and nothing but the facts? I wish that were the case, but I feel like our current media stance is really not falling in line with. We'll just give you the info, and you can decide what to do with it.
Yeah,
so,
will it even make it to the media?
Yeah,
sorry.
And that's interesting too, right? Like, are they going to bury it, or is there going to be a spin or a play, or what are we going to see? I love watching all of that stuff happen from a very external vision of it, like keeping myself outside of that, but really just looking at the messaging, but not getting drawn into the specific messaging and living more within my own innate wisdom within that too, and really researching those facts. You've given us a ton of resources to go for various systems and to really dig into those facts. So I'm super appreciative of that aspect. on this show and in other platforms as well.
Yeah, everything is definitely interconnected if you follow the thread and don't just stop at the surface level. Actually, I just heard yesterday, Thomas Edison, the inventor, had a hand to play in Hollywood moving to, or like movies being made moving to Hollywood, if you will. And I was like, oh, I haven't heard that before. And also, not surprising, but what else do we not know, right? There's so much, depending upon how far you go, how deep you dig, and having information at our fingertips. Like, I really wonder if as the web was built, if this is what it was intended for people to have so much more transparency, or if that's been a byproduct of what it has grown into as tech has advanced at such an incredibly fast pace. But doesn't necessarily have a lot to do with phobias, just a peek behind the curtains of the things that Janessa debates in her brain.
We could spend a few days there, I'm sure.
Yeah, no need for that.
Speaking of that time aspect, though, too, of spending days and days and days, I think that's something that we all really have an attachment to as well, as time and outcomes. When can I get rid of something? When am I going to do something? When am I going to have the thing? When am I going to be married? When am I going to have my first kid? When am I going to get a promotion? And being so attached to that time and also the outcome, rather than kind of trusting, but also living in the process. Like, I think we live for the outcome sometimes and disregard that process and really enjoying how that process feels, looks, all of the senses within it. And that's why this month in the Stronger Together coaching community, we are focusing on time and releasing our attachments to it to really liberate ourselves from being stuck in that loop of when is something coming, which really just steps on our own hose and oftentimes can make it take longer, but it can also steal from us perhaps we're better fitting. You know, if we don't get one promotion, maybe it's because we're going to get a job offer for another one, but we were so hyper fixated on when am I getting this one thing that we overlooked 25 other things that would have made us so much more happy. So we really wanted to focus this month on releasing our attachments to time and outcomes. So if you would like to join us, you can find all of those links to that Stronger Together community at fiercelyradiantsoul.com or at crystallinecurrents.com. And we would love to have you join us to release those attachments to time.
Yeah, the way that we look at things, especially phobias, time is another perfect example. There's a really common through line of believing that it's just consciously making a different decision. And because we're multifaceted, to shift our perspective, to release phobias, to embrace time and the belief that it's working for you, it goes deeper than just choosing a different, you know, way. Like, I'm going to think this thought, and I'm going to think the thought that I'm not afraid of bats. Well, I could have thought that my whole life, and I would still be running away screaming from bats. And so having those tools within the Stronger Together community as well to be able to move yourself forward beyond some of these things that are simple energetic tweaks, unconscious mindset tweaks, repatterning, rewiring, all of the tools to be able to do that on your own are in that platform and community as well. And so you don't have to wait until, because when we are concerned about our attachment to time, we can make it come much quicker. So in wrapping up here, thank you for joining us. And next week, I will be back returning to my series on the systems, and we are going to look at the monetary system. And I do hope that you come with an open mind, buckled up for a wild and crazy ride, because it is likely to be something you have never thought of before. as I love to present in most of the series, and will really encourage and motivate you to look at that system from a whole different lens and point of view. And in the meantime, friends, keep your eyes wide open.
Hear all of our previously aired broadcasts of News for the Soul online at newsforthesoul.com. Now let's get back to the show.